Our church. We're going to talk about today, next week, a couple of weeks here together. Jesus and the church, or Jesus or the church. You've probably heard over the last while, or last number of years, there's a lot of people that are deconstructing their faith. They're taking their faith. Part of that happened during COVID. Some of that happened like over the last 20 years. There's different people that are starting to say, you know what, my faith is irrelevant, it's not working, blah, 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 and they deconstruct and they throw it all out and try to reconstruct something, whatever that looks like. But there's another group of people that look at their faith and go, I love Jesus, but I really am not in tune with the church. You probably know people like that. They love Jesus, they're Christians, they follow Jesus, but they're looking at the church and going, I don't know. And for some of them, they've just checked out on church. Or a number of them keep coming back, but they're not checking into church, but they're there. And I want us to think about that a little bit and go, okay, what is the church? What is our church? Church is a big part of our lives. If it's not in our minds, at least, we can't think about Jesus without thinking about the church. Even those who aren't going to church still think about the church. It's still on their mind. There's still a part of them that says, I need to be in church. But for whatever reason going on in their heart and mind, they just can't get there. Okay, and I'm not judging that because I'm learning and I'm realizing, going, there's some things going on in their hearts and lives. I want to talk about that over the next number of weeks. We live in a very individualistic society. Yet we can't seem to be alone because we need it. True, most of us, and I've said this before, most of us are introverts. Most of us are not extroverts. Most of us are introverts. We like being alone. But we need people. That's just the way we've been created. When God created the earth, we look at Genesis chapter 1, when he created the whole universe, there's a little phrase in there where he says, he creates all of earth, he creates everything, and then he says, let's create people, humans, in our image. Let's create that. And what happens is a lot of people say, well, it's because God needed people. No, he doesn't actually need people. But it's who he is. He wants people. He loves people. It's just created out of who he is. It's just a natural thing. They didn't sit down, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and sit down and go, what do we create now? Maybe we should create things that walk around with two legs and have eyes and ears and nose, and maybe we could have a friendship with them. That's not what he was thinking. He says, we enjoy our fellowship. Let's create more fellowship. Let's create people to be together. And that's what he did. Throughout all of scriptures you read, it's this back and forth of people wanting to be with God and rebel against God and push God away or ignore him. And all the way through, that's how you read the story. God calling them back and them walking away. That's that whole story of all the way through. And even as you look at, okay, there was a tabernacle that was to meet together with his people and to worship and to love on them and all of that together. Then they built a temple. And then during that whole temple time, they also built synagogues, smaller groups of places where people could meet, especially when the Israelites were cast out of Israel and weren't near the temple. Then they created these synagogues, these smaller buildings where people could meet. That's what they did. And they still had them through Jesus' time. And then Jesus came as the final one to say, okay, now people, we're gonna pull you together here. And I'm gonna live the perfect life. I'm gonna die on the cross for you. I'm gonna rise from the dead. I'm gonna ascend to heaven. And I'm going to be praying for you and also working among you. And I'm going to pull us together. And then he invites us all into churches. He invites us all to be with groups of people. Now, I want us to think about that word church over the next number of weeks. Because we all have images. We all have history. I was counting the other day, I think I've been a part of 7 different churches in my life. From, 40 people all the way up to 4,500 people and everything in between. I've been a part of all kinds of churches. And we all have our history, we all have our opinions, we all have our thoughts about church. And those thoughts, that history, is what actually dictates our future of how we look at church and how we interact at church. And maybe for a number of people, how people pull away from church. I want us to think about all of that. Because as God said, let's create people in our image, He created people to want relationship. That's who He is. And what happens is people will find groups of people to meet with, whether that be gangs, whether that be the curling club. We don't have a curling club here in Roseburg, so I guess, oh well, okay. And I'm not into curling. That's like watching Angel. How many curl? Do you like it? Like, it's just, like, go ahead, curl. I'm not against curl. It's just, I've done it twice. It's just, I just can't do it. But there's whole clubs. I mean, that's where a lot of the, remember Cheers, Norm, like the whole bar scene and a lot of the bars, it's community. A lot of different places we can look around. McDonald's, every morning, there's a group of people that meet every morning. Have you noticed that? Tim Hortons, the different coffee shops. It's the same people. They just order a small coffee. But they're all together. We're built for community. And Jesus created the church, if it's done well, has created the church for us. Now, here's the statement. Our church is unique within the universal church of Jesus Christ. Our church is unique within the universal church of Jesus Christ. We will all have opinions about other churches, and I'm trying as much as I can to not have opinions and thoughts and feelings about other churches. Because I can't do anything about other churches. I only have enough energy and mind and thinking and emotions for one church. This church. God calls me to give all that I am to this church. If I get called to help another church with something, I'll do that. But most of my time and energy and emotion and everything in me is for this church. Our church is unique. You will never find in all of the world a church like ours. You never will. What's the thing about snowflakes? Snowflake. There's no two snowflakes alike. That's a lot of snow out there. Fingerprints. No two fingerprints. DNA. Even if they're a doppelganger, they're not you. And same with this church. There is no other church in the whole world, past, present, and into the future, like Rosenort Community Church. We have our own personality. We have our own calling, our own purpose. God created us on purpose. And we have our own giftings of people within this church. You will not find in another church, because we're all individuals with our own gifts and abilities. And we bring that together. Think about this. God was the creator. Was he the creator?
In the beginning,
God created. He created. But sometimes what we do is we leave God in the past. He created. Now, scientists will tell us that the universe is constantly expanding. It's more and more, like we can't even see to the end of all our galaxies. It's constantly expanding. That means God is continuing to create. Well, he just created, when was Noah born?
November,
beginning of November. So, you know, 8-9 months earlier, God created life. God is still creating life. He's still creating the universe. He's still creating all kinds of things in the present. And he will continue to create into the future. That's God, our creator. That's God, our creator. We are created on purpose for a purpose. And God, 10 years ago, created this church. We can look back and go, it wasn't the greatest beginning. I don't care. And all due respect to what happened. But God created this church and is creating this church for the future. You and me individually are created on purpose. And this church is created on purpose. Just like it says, I was thinking about this in Psalm 139. It says, we know the phrase, for we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Say that. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We know that about ourselves. I thought, yeah, but the church is about people, right? Say yes. Yeah, church is about people. So, is it possible that God fearfully and wonderfully created this church? Long pause. Do we think that God actually fearfully and wonderfully created this church? I see one nod. Some of you are still working on it. It's true, isn't it? Now, you're already hearing me, and maybe you're not sensing it yet. You're already hearing me. It's not about the building. It's not about this place or whatever we might have in the future. It's about the people. I remember Mark Hughes, pastor of Church of the Rock, saying when we were in the middle of COVID, and I was in an online prayer meeting with him and a bunch of other pastors in Winnipeg, and he goes, we always knew that the church is all about people. Now in the middle of COVID, we finally figured out that it's only about people because we couldn't be in buildings. Let's never forget the church. Wherever we would meet, and we were talking with somebody, a couple last night over supper, and they were talking about all the different places that we as a church had been a part of. It didn't matter where we were, it's that we were. That's the whole point. Now, I don't have the time or mental space to talk about the universal church. That's beyond my mind. I leave that to Jesus. So we may criticize other churches, we may look at other churches and go, ah, you know, but I leave that to Jesus. He's in charge. But I can and I will talk about our church here. Who are we? Who are we? Why did God create us and pull us together? Why in the world did God call us from Winnipeg to Rosenort of all places? I had a really good gig going in at Southland Church. They love me. They're still mad that I left. And I moved to Winnipeg, did a whole bunch of things, learned a whole bunch of things, and then God moved us here through a prophetic word. He got us here to be a part of us. Now, I'll talk about this in a few weeks, but really, I know Cameron and I, really what it is when we're here, we're in the middle. As a pastor, I'm in the middle of you. I'm not always up there, just do it because it's easier. But positionally, I am in the middle of this church with you and me, and I'll talk about that more next week. And then what are we supposed to do? So, around your tables, I'm going to give you a couple minutes. You've heard me say many times, this is a good church. This is a good church. And I'm not flattering you. I'm just saying this is a good church. I believe it. What's good about a church that works well? What's good about a church that works well? If church is working well, what's the good of it? Why is it good? Why would you want to be a part of a church that works well? Go ahead. He's talking to a group of leaders from the Ephesian church, a successful church, a good church, and he's talking to them, and he says this particular phrase: "So guard yourselves and God's people. Feed and shepherd God's flock." And then he says, this church. Who are we? We are a flock of sheep. Maybe a flock of geese, I don't know. But we're a flock. We're a group of people together that belong to God. And he's saying, so guard yourselves to the leaders. He says, guard yourselves as leaders and God's people. Feed and shepherd God's flock. That's what we're to do as a church, his church. And then he says, purchase with his own blood. The church, and many humans and leaders have gotten this mixed up over the last couple of centuries. The church belongs to Jesus Christ. He's the one that bought it. He's the one that purchased the church with his own blood. It's his church and no one else's. Now, we can say Rose North Community Church is my church. Absolutely. We belong to it. We're a part of it. But not one of us, not as a leadership team, not as a pastor, can I actually ever, never say, this is my church. I can't. You can't. We can't. It's Jesus' church. And we come under his authority as to what does he want, that we discern together. What does he want? Go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. God has put all things, under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. He is in authority, the church is under his authority, and the church is his body. It's not our body, it's his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. We are his body. We are Jesus among each other. Sometimes we can't figure that out. In 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians talks about the body of Christ. But that's who we are. We are Jesus to each other. We go to chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. The Apostle Paul says, I was chosen to explain to everyone the mysterious plan that God, the Creator, this mysterious plan that God, the Creator of all things, has kept secret from the beginning, and now is revealing it. God's purpose in all this was to use the church. Was to use the church to display his wisdom in all its rich variety. God chose the mystery of the church. We are the ones to display God's wisdom. Now, when the world looks at the church, what do they see? In the general world, sometimes the church does not have a good reputation. But, like I said, we can't concern ourselves with every other church. How are we doing as a church? Are we displaying God's wisdom when people would look at us individually as Christians, and when the world and Rosenor and the RM of Morris looks at us? How do they see God? Do they see His wisdom? Do they see His wisdom? So, understand this. Jump ahead, Dr. White. Understand this, number one. The church belongs to Jesus first and foremost. The church belongs to Jesus. Number two, we are more than welcome to be in it. We are welcome. We are invited. Everyone is invited to be a part of this good church. Amen? We are invited. He's creating this church. It's His church. And He pulls us in. And Jesus sometimes talks about that in a couple of His parables. Go into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. Yeah, He's inviting them into the kingdom of God. But He says, invite people to be a part of this body. And number three, the church will always be. The church will always be. There will always be a church. Because what is the church? People. Right? It's not a building. It's people. So the church will always be on earth when He creates the new heaven and new earth. There will be people. I don't know if we'll be meeting in churches anymore in heaven. I have no idea. But the church is pretty important to Jesus. Will always be on earth and in heaven. Always be. So, I want to encourage you this next week. Take some time with your Bible. Did you know that in the New Testament, the word church is used 150 times? Did you know that? 150 times in the New Testament. Even if you just looked at the book of Acts and just read how the church worked, maybe do that this week. And I want to encourage you to do some more thinking and praying for our church. What has the church got to do with me? What does He want with me? What does He want with us? Do some thinking and praying about the church this week. And then we'll have some more fun next week talking more about this good church. Todd, Amy, and Cody, you want to come up? Let's stand. I'm going to pray, and then they'll lead us to the closing song. Your name, Jesus.